Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day. And get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know The Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
A lot of info from Two Cuts over there.
Yeah, it is. And he lived up to his name, Two Cuts. I found some college football Oregon rankings, man, that I think we're all here for.
Okay.
FBS schools ranked by their walking distance from the stadium to the nearest Waffle House.
Wow. Well,
rankings by the shortest walk to a Waffle House from the stadium.
I don't think Michigan and Michigan State are going to do well in it.
No, tied for 13th are the University of South Florida Bulls and Florida State at 1.1 miles. Georgia State checks in at number 12 at 1.0 miles. Auburn, number 11 at 0.9. Tied at number nine, Ohio State and Georgia Southern, 0.8 miles to a Waffle House from their stadium. Tied at number 7, Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky, 0.7 miles from their stadium to a Waffle House. At number 5, Georgia and Jackson State are tied 0.6 miles from their stadium to a Waffle House.
I'm trying to think what I think would be number 1.
Well, if you're sensing a theme.
Well, of course it's going to be Southern.
There's two Midwest schools, one Big Ten, I already mentioned Ohio State, which mimics an SEC school in many ways. Georgia Tech at number 4.5. I'll let you guess what's number 1. At number 3, Alabama's 0.4 miles from a Waffle House. And then there's actually two schools. My apologies. Two schools tied at number 1 at 0.2. One's a Midwest school. One's down south.
It's a Midwest school.
Yep. One's like an hour away.
Wow. An hour away.
Mm-hmm.
Hour away. What the hell is
it? Maybe it's an hour.
Toledo?
Maybe it's 75 minutes. No. Keep going.
It's in the state of Ohio.
If you go to Toledo and you keep going, what's the next Division I school you hit?
I don't even know. I there's 20 schools in Ohio. I don't know.
Tied at number 1, 0.2 miles from their stadium to a Waffle House, Bowling Green.
That's a few hours away. A couple hours away.
It's 15 minutes south of Toledo.
No.
Bowling Green?
I thought Bowling Green was like 2 hours away.
It's just south of Toledo. It's like two exits south of Toledo. Right. And South Carolina. 0.2 miles from their stadium to a Waffle House. So there it is. The rankings you've all been waiting for.
Hour and a half away.
So 248-539-9797. Let's go to Joe in Grosseal. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys.
What's
up? It pains me to acknowledge this, but as much as I would like to see the Tigers re-sign Scoble, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. But the odds are better that they re-sign Scoble than they are of them getting a big haul in trading for him. Nobody's going to give the value that Scoble is to the Tigers organization for a one-year rental. We're just not going to get his value. So we either overpay him.
Why didn't you think that?
We're going to lose him.
I think he's right.
I want to know why. I want to know why he thinks it, Gator.
Because it's all about a rental. and especially in the off season, there's no guarantees that any of these teams that are in the playoffs now are going to be back there next year. So they're not going to pay to have Scoble get them over the top next year at the winter trade meeting.
So teams that trade for him can negotiate with him and can try and sign him to an extension. I think you're probably right. I was just intrigued to hear why. I mean, there's also the looming collective bargaining agreement, which it might be terrible timing for the Tigers, which could affect his trade value come trade deadline time. I shop him. I shop him pretty hard and just see what's possible. But I think it's more likely they trade him than re-sign him. I almost think there's 0% chance they re-sign him. And I gave my reasons why last hour, but...
Well, and I think the reason that they're not, unless they can do a sign and trade and someone's going to pay him $500 million, because he might sign early for that kind of dough. But yep. Anything less than $450, he's not signing. He's going to play this right out to the bitter end.
Well, it depends which teams are bidding for him. If it's a team like the Dodgers or the Red Sox or the Cubs or the Yankees, I think Boris can accept that because he knows that those are the teams with the most resources to sign him to that kind of deal, and that's what Boris is there for.
But here's what I'm curious about is what are those teams willing to pay, and what kind of a deal are they talking? Like, are you talking about like an 8-year deal for Tarek Skubal? Okay, if it's 8 years, to get to $400 million, you got to pay him $50 million a year. Do you think he's going to get $50 million on the open market? It's possible, but do you think that's going to be the number?
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, look, I feel like that no matter what Detroit offers, New York and LA will go one louder. They'll go to 11.
It feels like they can, and yet they've got some guys. I think each team in the next couple of years have some players that they're going to have to re-sign to, and they're going to have to take a long, hard look at how things are. But it doesn't seem like they care about money. I would agree with that. But I think even those teams that don't seem to care about money might have to care a little bit.
Well, that bargaining agreement, I don't know how that's going to impact markets for players. And that is always an unknown variable. I would shop them pretty hard. And then that would be plan A. Plan B would be to sign his replacement this offseason and try and win with him and his replacement. And plan C, I guess, would just be ride it out and lose him, which I really don't want to do, but I don't think there is a future where they re-sign him.
The only upside of the ride it out and lose him after the season is if they win the World Series.
I know.
And it's possible. It's not impossible. But if you're going to ride him out, you better also sign somebody in free agency as a pitcher. And then there's some really good pitchers available in free agency. You're going to have to give one of those guys a contract.
248-539-9797. Don in Birmingham, you're next. Hi, Don.
Oh, gosh. Hey, thanks, guys. I was calling. I called earlier, but I was talking about the Lions.
That's fine.
I know we're talking about, like, Tigers.
Talk about anything.
Caught me off guard. By the way, I think there's a couple things that we could do with the Lions and what's going on here. I think that it's egregious to a lot of respects. And then if you think about it, hold on, let me get to my notes.
Really took notes.
So the league is an entertainment league, right? So we get that. And we know that Roger Goodell is an F, you know, he's a star, you know, effer. He does everything with the draft. He does everything like that. About stardom. Why do you think the Chiefs are getting, you know, the looks that they're getting or the benefit of the doubt? I think so, too. Like, people are talking about State Farm, but I think, you know what? The Fords have been on the back, and the Lions have been on the back end, back receiving end of.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Don?
All that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, your phone's breaking up pretty bad, bud.
Oh, is it? Is it better now?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You said the Fords have, and then you broke up.
Yeah, the Fords have been on the wrong side of, you know, receiving favorable treatment. The Lions have. You know what? I know that State Farm, you know, supports certain athletes. However, the Fords own a major, major advertiser. And I think it's about time that Martha and Sheila have a little sit down, if they haven't, with, well, you know, Mr.
I don't think this is specific to the Lions, though, Don. I think it's the whole league is getting sick of the way the Chiefs is getting treated. So it's not incumbent upon just them. I mean, we'll see if anything comes out of it. This UTEP study that just got released saying that the Chiefs are the benefactors of, or benefit more from, you know, subjective calls than any team in the league, I find fascinating. And we'll see if that gets any traction anywhere. But
it would behoove us to have a stronger voice, I think, within the NFL, especially with the clout that the Ford family, you know, allegedly carries, especially with their advertising dollars, too.
I guess. I mean, there's... All these owners are rich. Every fan base thinks their owner has clout. Some, I guess, more than others, but these are billionaires, right? They're multimillionaires.
These are, in fact, billionaires. And these franchises are, in fact, worth billions and billions of dollars.
I'm going to give you and Kang a quiz here.
Great. Here we go, Kang.
This guy is a world champion. I'm going to give you his name, and based upon his name, awesome, I want you to tell me what he's the world champion of. His name is Sven Seljom.
How do you spell Seljom?
S-E-L-J-O-M.
Sven Seljom.
Yep.
My first thought goes towards like world's strongest man type thing. Okay.
I like where you're headed.
Sven Seljom. He was a first-time competitor. Claimed the coveted title of world champion.
Is he a first-time world champion?
He's a first-time competitor. Sorry. There were 30 competitors from 14 countries, including the U.S., Canada, amongst them.
Do you know who the U.S. competitor was?
I do not. The story doesn't say. Sven Seljom, world champion.
I think we got to go off the board a little bit because I feel like
it's too. Yeah,
don't focus on the name too much. I think that could throw us off if it makes any sense. You know what I mean?
14 like, nations. What are the other nations?
Yeah.
Let's see here. 14 countries, including U.S., Canada, Norway, Australia, Pakistan, the Philippines, and Finland.
Okay. Does narrow things down.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He said winning this was a great honor. First heard about this competition many years ago on Norwegian radio and thought it sounded really different. Okay. I wanted to enter ever since.
Oof.
The thing that's going to throw me off is there's a guy from Pakistan as well. So you got a Paki and you got Scandinavians.
We're locked into you said Pakistan. Yeah, man.
I'm like thinking it's going to be something germane to cold weather, or it's going to be germane to like the strawman competition. We know where those people are from. I don't expect Pakistan to be repping in the world's strongest man competition.
The Philippines was in there too, so I don't think, you know. I thought something cold until those two countries came up. Like maybe.
Thailand, is that part of it too, or no?
I didn't say Thailand.
No.
I'm thinking something dumb like rock, paper, scissors champion. Like something like that.
Okay.
You know? Like is there like a Squid Game or something?
Sven Seljom.
I'm going to go hide and seek champion.
Okay. Hide and seek champion. All right. Hide and seek. Is that your final answer? Hide and seek, and you're going rock, paper, scissors, Kang.
I'm going with kite flying.
All right. First-time competitor from Norway has stirred up success by claiming the coveted title of world porridge-making champion. Sven Seljum from Mandel claimed the Golden Spurtle Trophy by adding his own twist to the Scottish delicacy at the annual event held at Carrabridge in the Highlands. His dish was made with Norwegian black oats with sea salt and water, which he brought with him from home. The black oats in his dish are of an ancient grain, which used to be grown all over Europe, but largely disappeared in the 1800s. Sven Seljum, world porridge making champion. And there you go.
Gator, you, would you eat that?
I tried porridge. Yeah, I don't know porridge. I think this is quite a letdown.
Is it?
Yeah. Porridge making.
Yep. Whereas kite flying.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney+ and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Was really excited.
Kite flying, I mean, Kang had me there. I was like, okay, kite flying. You know, this is like, you know, this guy won the chili cook-off.
Of, yeah.
You know, right, in Oslo, you know.
Well, what do you think matters? He's from Norway. What do you think would do better in Norway, a chili cook-off or a porridge-making championship?
I guess porridge.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude won in his first try. He's a rookie.
Yeah, but so he's had this in his back pocket. When you were like, he heard about it on a radio station or something?
Yeah,
or a radio
ad? Yeah, he was listening to radio. Right.
Who do you think was judging this, Kang?
I can give you one of the judges.
Are there celebrity judges?
Are they like Food Network judges?
Yeah. Alan Rankin was one of the porridge judges. The standard this year was exceptional. It's wonderful to see the event continuing to go from strength to strength.
Alan Rankin?
Yeah. So there you go.
Is that the only...
That's the only one that's quoted in the story.
R-A-N-K-I-N?
Yes.
You a porridge guy, Doug?
I'm not. I'm more of an oatmeal dude. I'll go with some oatmeal occasionally. I like steel cut oats. You like steel cut oats? No? Just me? Okay, yep. 248-539-9797. Do you have anything else to add, or we go back to the phones?
I know. I just went to Google to try to find anything about this guy. And it says Australian triumphs at World Porridge Championships.
Well, there was a specialty award that went to an Australian as well.
The event's porridge chieftain, Alan Rankin.
Yep, there you go.
Told the media the standard.
Australian food stylist Carolyn Velk won the traditional porridge. The first prize goes to traditional porridge where you can only use three ingredients, oatmeal, water, and salt. The additional prize is specialty porridge. That's what the Aussie won. She made porridge yaffles, a yogurt flatbread filled with rum bananas,
Wait a second.
What?
You can only use three ingredients?
For regular porridge, you can only use three ingredients.
I mean, how many different how different can they be?
But the competition, you could use more than three ingredients, right?
Well, no. The world porridge champion is making traditional porridge, which is oatmeal, water, and salt. Then there's an additional prize, specialty porridge, which went to the Australian.
But for the regular porridge championship, you can only use three ingredients.
Yes.
When he
the oatmeal,
he used the salt. Black. He used the he brought the black salt. Oats.
Yeah,
and he brought his water from Norway, his own water.
How did he get that through TSA?
I don't know.
You don't want to know. You do not want to know.
Packed it in his, he didn't have it in his carry-on.
Obviously. Oh, yeah, okay. He checked
his carry-in.
All right, there you go.
I thought you could make porridge with rice too. Am I wrong? Or
I didn't know that's what it was. I was like oatmeal. I had no idea that's what porridge. I thought porridge was like a thick soup. Is what I thought.
I thought like a with any consistency of like something creamy. Like
I'm thinking Goldilocks. I'm not thinking Goldilocks. Like rocking a bowl of oatmeal and you know. Oh, what's this? Is this too much? Well, it's just you know oats, salt, and water. Thanks, Mama Bear.
In 2023, the winner was Pakistani.
Well,
yep. So I guess Pakistan has a deep history of porridge, high-end porridge champions.
You would think that maybe in the United States, somewhere in the in Pennsylvania, the Amish country, maybe we got some people that are standouts.
Yeah, you might.
I'm just thinking of the Quaker oats, you know.
Yeah, but they can't take the buggies over to Norway where the competition was held.
Take a boat.
It could. Let's get back to your phone calls. Tony and Madison Heights, you're next. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking a call. You know, you're talking about where the money's coming from to hire free agents. So one thing that's never discussed, for the last year and a half, I'm sure their budget for attendance has been greatly exceeded. So that excess money has got to be going into the vault somewhere with interest and making money and just sitting there waiting to hire or sign some free agents. Because what do they have, $2.4 million this year? I'm sure their budget was, you know, a lot less than that. So no one's talking about the excess. And I don't think they were, you know, like in deep straits before that, you know, like say a year and a half.
I would say this, Tony. I mean, I think that it's you know, you go back and look at how much they were spending before, you know, when they were – when Mike Ilitch was alive in the 2010 era, it was like a $200 million payroll because they were getting 2.5-3 million people through the turnstiles. I don't think it's any different than now. I do think they have money to spend. I think, and with TV deals and everything else going up, I think that they could probably spend close to $200 million if they wanted to, if not more. And if you're going to do that, go get yourself a stud starting pitcher. You can also make an offer to Tarek Skubal. You can get a stud closer. Yep. And then you promote the guys you want to promote from the lineup.
Money shouldn't be the issue.
I agree.
And one quickie on Skubal. You know, Skubal's a big quality of life guy. You know, he's from Seattle, and he's got that newborn, really young toddler. You know, I think we should, you know, say, hey, wait a minute. You know, you want the kids to grow up in Manhattan? You want the kids to grow up in San Diego? You can't get a, you know, he seems to enjoy it here. Raise your kids in, you know, the heartland of America.
You know, some people actually, you might find this crazy, but some people actually like New York and San Diego.
He actually grew up in Arizona, but yeah.
No, I'm talking about he's here now. And you know how many people retire when they jump around, let's hockey players are big on this, when they come to Detroit, and then they get traded and go to four different, you know, stops. When they retire, they come back to Detroit. Yeah.
It's hockey players, not baseball players.
I love selling it. Yeah. You are the first person that ever has said ever, where do you want to live, Detroit or San Diego? Ugh.
San Diego is absolutely the worst.
The problem with San Diego is how expensive it is, and that's not a problem for Tarek Skubal.
No, it's not a problem.
The weather's too good.
Who wants 82 degrees every day?
Well, let's talk to someone here that just moved here from San Diego for, you know, work, and I asked him how the weather was. He goes, every day it was perfect.
Literally, every day.
Every day. I was not too cold and not too hot, and I wore shorts and a t-shirt.
Every day.
He just argued.
He tried.
He's a quality of life guy. What do you want to be, San Diego?
San Diego. Maybe that. I mean, authentic Mexican street food. You want that?
The beaches.
Beaches. What? Or. No. Look, I love it here. I have no desire to move anywhere other than Michigan.
But I love visiting San Diego.
San Diego's amazing.
But I love this state. I love the change of seasons. I would miss that if I didn't live here. But I think that's a historically interesting sell.
How about we go with his first point? Okay, they do have money.
Yes.
The question is, when all is said and done, do they care how much they're paying him if their payroll stays below a certain point?
I don't know.
If they were willing to spend $210 million on a payroll, does it matter if you're spending $70 million on Tarek Skubal? I'm just throwing a ridiculous number there. As long as you're staying underneath that number, do you care? If he's helping you win,
it's what you probably do care when you start thinking about other players you're going to want to re-sign in the future. But so Gator, the Red Wings found a way to win that game yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Like, look at the shots are like 12-1 in favor of Toronto, and then they're like 23-7, and then they're 35-10. And late in that game, Toronto comes back from 2-0 down and ties it. The Red Wings get a shot off late in the third, and a graphic comes up says first shot in 12 minutes. And then right after that, they score the game-winning goal.
They scored at the end of the first period. That was kind of a gift.
Mm-hmm.
They got the goal at the end of the third period. That's all with inside a minute they score to go up 3-2.
Yep.
All right, take it. Need some puck luck once in a while, and knocking down Toronto two straight, that's pretty great. Take that. I thought this was interesting. I wish I had saved this for you to ask at this point, but there are only three teams in the NHL right now that are undefeated after the first three or four games of the season.
That's kind of wild, actually.
It is. It's crazy when you think about that this early, and it's already the most teams have played is four
that
games.
Have no overtime, any of that. Like, they're just,
well, just either you win or you lose. I guess overtime loss. Yeah. Like Colorado is 3-0-1. I don't think that counts as, and Nashville's 2-1. That doesn't count as undefeated, I don't think.
No.
Carolina's played two games or 2-0. That's one of them. Dallas is 2-0. They've played two games. That's another. And then Seattle is the third. So that's it.
Yeah. So their season isn't over in spite of the opener?
Not yet. No.
Let's be fair. The opener was bad, but there were a lot of, what do we say, short-term results, long-term conclusions.
Yeah.
In the Red Wings case, I forgive the fans a little bit, right? Because the past few seasons haven't been really particularly rewarding. And so when you see them get embarrassed in the opener, start to worry it's going to be that, but there were some quick panic buttons pushed on this team, and then two wins in a row over Toronto doesn't mean victory laps either. It just means it ain't over.
No, it's just the quick look back at the start and what happened yesterday is great. They beat Toronto. Mm-hmm. Talbot net stopped 38 out of 40 shots. That's great. Lucas Raymond got hurt. Upper body injury, looked like it was a shoulder or upper arm injury. Somebody got checked into the boards. And he skated off and was like, mm-hmm. shaking it loose, and then didn't come back in the game. So hopefully that's not long-term, because he's their best player and they need to have him, the Razor, as they call him. They need to have Razor back on the ice. In the meantime, sure is nice to see that Patrick Kane is what Patrick Kane is. Amazing that his career was almost ended by injuries. Get some time off. It's a different surgery, and comes back from that surgery where nobody else has been able to come back from it and be, credible again. And he's been really good for the Red Wings since he put the old winged wheel on the jersey. So they're getting to be fun to watch. They got the young players that are playing. A lot of players on this team are under the age of 24, and a handful of them are like 20 years old. So that's kind of cool as well.
So ESPN, you see what ESPN put out today? They did the top 100 players in the NHL, ESPN broadcasters, analysts, reporters, and editors. That was broadcasters, analysts, reporters, and editors, rated players, came out with their top 100 players.
Okay.
Do you think any Red Wings made the list?
I would hope at least one. I think Lucas Raymond is probably on the list. Dylan Larkin is on, you know, he's on the roster for like Team USA, so I think he might be on the list, and that might be it. Maybe is Sider on the list to make it three?
Red Wing, Gator, the highest rated Red Wing is Dylan Larkin at 24.
24? I'm surprised by that. Okay.
The second highest rated Red Wing is Lucas Raymond at 48. The third Red Wing to make the list is, you didn't mention him,
Alex DeBrincat
at 59. And Mo Sider checks in at 84.
Okay.
It's actually not bad representation.
It's not bad at all.
We saw it last year. We're like, okay, they got a line and a half, right? I mean, that's what it felt like when games really were mattered late in the year, and you're just looking like you can count on a line and a half.
I was just talking to Kenny outside about the Red Wings. He and I were talking, hey, nice start here. And I'm like, well, the pieces they've added feel like that they're better pieces than they had last year. They're upgrades over whatever they had, whether it's, you know, Van Riemsdyk or...
Who scored that? It was the first goal yesterday,
He scored, and Appleton scored the winner. Those two guys paid off last night. Sandin Pelikka, the young guy, is getting a ton of ice time on defense, and he doesn't look out of place. He'll make his mistakes, sure, but as a rookie, he should be making mistakes. As long as he, you know, makes more good plays than bad... More better mistakes, he'll be fine. But I think that this is a team that can grow, and the fact that they've had the coach for the full year here and they get a full training camp with them, people know what to expect, and that first game did not sit well with anybody, and they made some corrections. And so hopefully this is a sign of things to come. I don't think this is a Stanley Cup contending team, but I think it's a playoff team.
What a pleasure. It's Mike Stone.
How are you?
Oh, great. How are you, Stoney?
I'm in for Mr. Valenti today.
Okay.
Happy anniversary to you. Your wife's anniversary a couple days ago.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Tonight we're going to see her choice, Adam Sandler.
Oh, really?
Little Caesars Arena.
Oh, so you don't want to see Adam Sandler? It's her choice?
No, I don't care. One way. I think he's funny, but I'm not big on seeing comedians in hockey arenas.
I understand.
To me, comedians should be in much smaller venues, like the Comedy Castle. Or even places like, you know, the Fox.
That would be something. How much would they have to charge for tickets to see Adam Sandler at the Comedy Cast?
I don't know, because you go to places, you know, like LA, that Comedy Store, and some of the greats just walk in on their own and try out new material. So, yeah.
I was in LA one time at one of those comedy places to see just for the night, and George Wallace came in to do
Not the former governor of Alabama.
No, different George Wallace. Different George Wallace. He came in and goes, I just wanted to try some material. Everybody said, yeah, it sounds great. And it was interesting.
Where Andrew Dice Clay, before he became famous, came in there at the Comedy Store and started doing the nursery rhyme. Oh, I never heard anything like that before. And Gator, I don't know, Doug, you might not remember it all. There used to be this Pistons fan at the old Silver Dome. Her name was Glitter. They used to show her in the crowd. She had blonde hair and she wore like sexy. Anyway, she walked on and performed at a Comedy Store. I said, I'm from Detroit, Glitter. And she was like embarrassed because she was like this famous fan during the Bad Boy days. Silverdome.
So was it bad?
She was not very good.
Okay, yeah. And was George Wallace bad? You said interesting.
Good thing he tried some stuff out first, yeah.
Okay.
Got it, the fine tune.
What do you guys got planned coming up next?
Well, we're going to start... Because Mike and Rico really didn't have much chance yesterday because of the Red Wings game. We're going to get into what Scott Harris had to say to the throng that was there yesterday, including myself.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I thought it was kind of gratifying just to hear him answer some of the questions.
He was a little more contrite than he usually is, but I don't think he was completely – he didn't satisfy everybody. And part of that was, like, I'm kicking myself for not asking AJ, all right – whose decision was it to take Scooble out after six innings?
He's answered it, right? He said they talked about it the inning before and decided he had one more.
Yeah, but did they get a memo from Scott Boras?
Oh, God. You're not buying into that, are you?
I don't know. I mean, seriously, it's the season's on the line. You're a competitor. I don't care if you think you're out of gas. You don't think that Tarek Skubal has enough physical ability? I don't think mental ability to go one more inning.
I think he did. I don't think his agent had anything to do with it.
No.
You never know.
This is an interesting conspiracy theory I'd never thought of.
Yes. And speaking of conspiracy theories, we'll get into the officiating the Lions-Chiefs game, whether it was legit or not.
I felt guilty because we leaned into that early, and I'm like, this is not us.
There's a study out there.
I know, actually. Yeah, the University of Texas El Paso.
They have nothing else to do. Figuring out about
UTEP.
Maybe not. Maybe that's what they do at UTEP. I know. All right, have a great show. Good to see you again, Mike.
Yes.
Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney+ and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show? It's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.